Welcome to the Casa de Confidence podcast, a podcast for women about going in a direction of their dreams and the confidence it takes to reach them. I'm your host, Julie DeLuca Collins. I am a dreamer, a traveler, visionary, risk taker. I am a lover of books, activist, philanthropist, and most of all, a supporter of women in their dreams. If you've stumbled into our CASA for the first time, welcome. If you've been here before, I'm so glad you're back. Grab your drink of choice, settle in, and make yourself at home.
Hey, Julie, how you doing?
Hello, Daniel.
I gotta mix it up. I gotta come up with a different greeting every time we start this.
Well, try it now.
Oh, that's a lot of pressure. Being original on my own?
Yes.
Without research?
Without... Can't you just fly by the seat of your pants?
All right, let me try it.
Okay, ready? Come on. You can do it.
Okay. Well, hello, confident listeners. This is Dan Collins and our great, magnificent, and awesome hostess,
Julie DeLuca Collins.
She couldn't even wait for me to get her name out.
Because you were looking at me. I thought that was my cue.
I can't help but look at you.
Well, I'm so beautiful, of course.
I know. Well, you know, I pick him right. You know, you got to pick him right when you are handsome, hot husband.
Really funny that you are.
That's, yeah. Am I leaning into that now?
I think you are leaning into that.
You think
so? You know, I told you that we have a little goal to promote the podcast, and that promoting the podcast means building your Instagram followers. Mm. How comfortable are you with that?
Building my... Gram status?
Gram status? Oh my goodness. Where'd you get that? What 12-year-old did you learn that language from?
Oh man. None. I just made it up all on my own.
Look at you being all trendy like.
I am hashtag trendy.
Hashtag trendy. That's interesting.
Anyhow, you know what? This episode today of the podcast. It marks a special day in the life of me.
Okay. What is it?
This is the first day you used the new podcasting equipment. Hmm. Do you remember that one?
Listen, to me, if I have to use the equipment by myself, it's always like the first time.
Yeah, well. Well, this first time didn't go as planned, so... our guest today, Tracy Lewis, started on one day and the podcast ended 5 days later. So we thank you, Tracy, for coming back amidst our technical difficulties.
I know. And listen, we are all beginners in certain things and we just got to keep trying and learning from our mistakes. Mm-hmm. Except apparently when it comes to podcasting equipment, I'm a slow learner. Speaking of slow learners.
Really?
I was going to talk about me, but fine. Okay. Let's not talk about slow learners.
Let's talk about...
I thought you were going to say something about me.
Yeah, I thought so.
Oh, because you think, think you're a slow learner?
I'm a deliberate learner, yes.
A deliberate learner.
Yes.
That's... interesting.
When it comes to some things in life, I guess I am a slow learner.
I'm just going to leave it at that.
I'm at my CPAP. I don't always wear it. I need to wear it more often.
Oh my God. You really need to wear it more often.
You know what? But every time you punch me in the head in my sleep,
I've never punched
I learned my lesson just a little more.
Wow. Never, never punched him in the face.
Yes, dear. May I have another?
Oh, my goodness. This is the most ridiculous accusation I've ever heard.
I may hit you in your arm or shove you or shake you, but never punch you.
Or she'll put the dog on my head.
I think the dog does that on its own. Listen,
right.
Today is a big day. Today is October 24th. I never thought this day was going to come, and I was afraid it wasn't going to happen, and it's happening. So I need to mark this day.
What shall we mark this day?
Something big happens tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah.
I'm getting pizza from Frank Pepe's.
Frank Pepe's you're getting pizza from? No, that's not what's happening.
Okay, let the suspense.
Well, you get one guess. It's something that's meaningful to me. It's something that I look forward to. It's something that changes lives.
The Oscar announcements?
No.
The Emmy announcements?
It's not Emmy Oscar award winning related.
Kennedy Center honors?
No.
I'm just guessing all these things. It is, I don't know.
Up my alley?
Up your alley? We're going bowling?
No.
That's actually not up your alley.
I like bowling.
You're just not good at it.
I'm very good at bowling.
With the bumpers in.
Oh, you are throwing down shade. I am annoyed that you're doing it because I'm actually a very good bowler. Thank you very much.
I am throwing a little shade because I'm about as good as you are.
No, I'm better than you are. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm better at ping pong then. I get ping pong, you get bowling. Sorry, table tennis.
Okay, I'm going to take you out of your suspense because...
Okay, thank you.
I think that it's worth noting. Ladies and gentlemen, mostly ladies, I know that you're in for this. Most of you, at least. Tonight is the big launch of Countdown to Christmas. Hallmark Countdown to Christmas. I did not think this was happening. I wondered all summer if they were filming the Christmas movies and how would we get the Christmas movies. And tonight is the first one. I'm so excited. Dan, are you excited?
I'm putting a TV in the second bedroom.
I love Countdown to Christmas.
It's too early.
It's the same time every year.
I'm just assuming this is a Hallmark thing, right?
Yes.
Oh, geez. Oh. Anyhow.
You know, you enjoy
it. Hey, I know this is a podcast for women, right? Are there any women out there that might have significant others that want to spend some time with me during Hallmark season? Because we need a support network here.
You know, there is a podcast by man about Hallmark movies.
Oh, okay.
Man can get on board. I suggest you get on board.
Oh, I thought it was a support group for men who have wives who...
No, it's men reviewing the movies.
Really?
Yeah.
There's also a podcast about men who like My Little Ponies. So.
All right. Here's something that will make you feel better. You know what's coming out and what's being released this week? Oh, my God.
What's being released?
I cannot believe that you don't know this. The Mandalorian.
Oh, I know that.
Really? So why would
Mandalorian?
Yeah,
Mandalorian. I was thinking movie for some reason. Like, are they releasing Wonder Woman? Or that's at Christmas, supposedly. I think it's going to come straight to video on demand and skip the theaters.
Okay, here are my top three entertainment. And I don't watch a lot of TV, but here are my top three entertainment.
Currently.
Bachelorette.
Number three?
Well, and no particular order.
Oh, you gotta go in order.
I can't go in order.
You gotta pick a favorite baby.
I'm not picking a favorite baby. I'm just picking...
This is Sophie's... This is Julie's choice.
Julie's choice.
Sophie's choice for those people old enough to understand what that means.
Okay. So, if I had to pick one, of course, Hallmark would win because there's more content there. But then I can't turn away from the circus that is the Bachelorette.
Nope, she can't.
And listen, neither can you.
I watch because I've been supporting you.
You're sucked in just as much as I am to the train wreck. Come on, admit it.
I got you into the Pretty People house party.
You got me into Big Brother. That is correct. I had never watched Big Brother, and he has sucked me in.
Pretty People House Party.
Pretty People House Party. That's funny. Hmm.
It wasn't always like that.
Okay.
Well, maybe it was. I don't know.
And, yeah, so Big Brother is ending, so it's fitting that we have Bachelorette. And I can't wait to see how the season unfolds.
And what's your number three?
Mandalorian.
Oh, my God. I will take that as a win, a victory.
Don't take it as a victory. I've always been a Star Wars girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the first movie called?
Listen, I lived in El Salvador when the first movie came out.
What's the first movie called, though?
Star Wars.
Okay. Very good. That was a trick question. What's the name of the movie now?
Ugh, I don't know, because I don't keep up with it.
Because a lot of people don't realize they just watched the remastered videos from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 4,
yes.
Star Wars, was Episode 4, right? Well, when they redid the movies, when they're making the new ones, they called it A New Hope. And a lot of people don't even remember that A New Hope was not the original title of that movie. No. It was added in the 90s.
Yeah. Well, here it is.
So everyone says it, Star Wars A New Hope now, which it is.
I don't say that.
But it
I
wasn't
say
in
Star
the
Wars, Star Wars, period. Luke Skywalker kisses Leia. That's what it is.
That's his
you were
sister.
Hoping that
you.
They could hook up.
That's like Game
whatever.
Of Thrones level stuff right there.
All right.
And didn't she kissed him? He didn't kiss her back because she was doing it in front of Han. Because
yes.
Han was being all cocky.
So, ladies, are you a Han Solo kind of girl? Or are you Luke Skywalker? Who floats your boat better?
Maybe you're a Princess Leia kind of person.
And that's okay, because in this house, love is love.
Hey, if love is love, then Chewie's in there too.
Oh, my God. This is turning a different kind of place. Well,
hey,
wait a minute. We have to, I do have to address something that changed in our life this week.
What?
I have to address something that has changed in our life this week.
Oh, what changed?
That's the funeral march song, not the Empire song.
What did you break?
I didn't break anything, but we
what
walked
broke?
Away from a 20-year relationship, at least for me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You made me walk away from my relationship with Verizon.
Oh, yes. So, in a way, it's kind of like, though, it's kind of like you left Verizon and you found a new life, but you still work with Verizon. Because we went to Xfinity.
For phone service, people. Phone service.
For phone service. For mobile, Xfinity Mobile. Mm-hmm. And they actually use the Verizon network. Or that would have been... Would have never happened. Because Julie is a huge Verizon loyal person. She's been loyal to Verizon. In Verizon, they get a bad reputation.
And here, I'm going
whatever.
To tell you. The only
They're
reason
expensive.
We left Verizon is for thrifty reasons. And here's the thing, why I'm loyal to Verizon. When I lived in New York City during 9/11, the towers were falling. My ex-husband worked a couple blocks from the towers. And phone service with every other carrier was nowhere to be found. The only place you could really communicate was with Verizon. So.
And I don't blame you.
I really, and they have served me well throughout traveling around the country. And I've traveled a lot throughout the country with my job and for pleasure, of course. Verizon has always been there. So
it's a good positive story.
And there was always, and I will say, one of the reasons that I anytime that I've had to get a new cell service or whatnot, I'm always afraid that I'm not going to keep my number. And that is, I would have killed
her. Oh, the other day when I was switching it, she was freaking out. But anyway, safe and sound.
And so are the messages from my dad, because I still have voice messages.
And all the voice messages from her dad, even though I downloaded all of them just in case. Anyway, Juliana
yes,
DeLuca Collins.
Daniel Cito.
Tell us about our guest today. Short and sweet, and let's get to her.
Short and sweet? Do I ever do anything short and sweet? Come on.
I tried, guys.
Okay, so Tracy Lewis. How did I meet Tracy Lewis? I met Tracy Lewis in the same way that I have met many of the fabulous women in my life. She is part of the No BS program with Corinne Crabtree, who is my mentor, my weight loss coach. And Tracy Lewis is someone who I admired for a long time, for Far Away. And for those of you who have been loyal listeners, know that she is the maker of my favorite lip gloss. And Tracy was doing something very interesting over the summer. She is a dental assistant and decided to go back to school to become certified as a reflexologist therapist. Is that the way you say it? I'm sorry, Tracy. I guess I kind of suck at that. I didn't know that very well. But she has been working so hard in all these different things. She has multiple side hustles in addition to what she's doing. But one of the things that I really admire about Tracy is that she is just so committed to her journey to be a better version of herself, to her weight loss. She is on track to lose 100 pounds, not quite there yet, but she's been working really hard. And I'm so proud of her, and I love her story, and I wanted to highlight it because she symbolizes what I believe is someone going after in the direction of their dreams and being confident.
So, Tracy Lewis, thank you for being on the show, and
welcome to Casa de Confidence. All right. Well, Tracy, thank you so much for coming to Casa de Confidence. There is so much fun stuff I want to talk to you about. I am thrilled that you said yes to being and having this conversation. So why don't you take a time to introduce yourself?
Okay, sure. So I'm Tracy. Here's a little bit about my story so far. I live in Ohio. I'm married. And I have one spoiled bulldog. I have been married for almost 20 years. It'll be 21 this fall. I currently work in dentistry, and I make lip gloss. And I'm currently a student with hopes of becoming a certified reflexologist here in the fall. A lot of my story that I would love to share is going to be kind of centered around weight and weight loss and maybe even negative self-image talks. So some of my story that I'm going to share in regards to all of that is my story with the No BS journey. I joined this all-women's community about 2.5 years ago, about the spring of 2018, then called Fit and Fat, now upgraded to No BS Woman. But when I started, I weighed 275 pounds. I was overweight because at that time, the only thing I could do was self-soothe with food. And at that point in my life, I only knew this one defense mechanism was truly because of combating the heartache that I was having, experiencing several miscarriages. So I was using food to self-soothe, you know.
As a lot of women do. Yeah. And I think that we get into the pattern, and I totally identified with what you're saying, because I learned, and I was in a unhealthy marriage for many years, and I learned to just push the feelings away and ignore them and buffer them through food. So I totally see that.
Yes. Because you have to keep in mind, like at that time, I hadn't learned the No BS skills, which allowed me to grow, recognize how to properly handle emotion, feelings, and actually my thoughts without involving overeating.
Right. And that's what I love about the tribe. I still call it the tribe because I've been with Corinne. You know, I first found her in the Weight Watchers in 2008, 2009, something like that. Because I remember being in my last to last job and I followed her for so long. And I think that all of us women are always looking for an answer, right? We're always looking mm-hmm. for something. And I love seeing her evolve and I love seeing the community evolve. And I'm so honored to be a part of it and to meet individuals like yourself, right? Who are resilient, keep trying, keep working at it and experience success. And even when things don't necessarily go as fast as we want them to, and I know I'm speaking for myself, we keep showing up. And that's one of the things that I love about you. So I'm thrilled that you are here, but there's so much to unpack with what you're doing. Yes. Can I ask you a few questions?
Of course. Ask away.
Okay. So how did you meet your husband?
So we actually went to different high schools and we met at our very first job at the movie theater.
Oh, I was
the little person behind the counter popping the popcorn and he was the ticket taker. And we've been together since I was very young. I just turned 16.
Here you are. That's amazing. So you also said that you are in the dentistry field. And I know that's been sort of a challenge with everything going on with COVID-19. And what were some of the challenges that you experienced? And I want to sort of bring them back to no BS after you talk a little bit about that.
Originally, when everything really hit, the dentistry field was one pretty much the second in line next to like schools and teachers that were closed due to the lack of PPE, the masks, the gloves, all the barriers that we use to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we were laid off. This is the first time I've experienced any type of furlough, any type of, you know, change in routine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as things kind of progressed and we were allowed to open back up, you know, there was some insecurity in me of moving back into something that was maybe even now new, even though I've been doing it since high school, it was the new territory. So I had a lot of thoughts that I had to really work through because routine is something that balances my soul. So this was not a routine thing. So, you know, you kind of got to get out of your own way and just almost trust the process and not try to control the process, I think, is the biggest lesson I learned out of all
That's gold. I think trust the process and not control the process. And I think that there are things that we can control, right? There are things like we can control our environment, how we handle something, how we show up. But there's a lot of things that are going to be out of our control. And I think that knowing that if you do everything that you can from your end, then things can fall into place. But one of the things that I know that you do, and because it's part of what we learn in the No BS group, is that you have learned how to manage your mind. What were some of the insecurities and fears that you had, and how did you handle managing your mind around those?
Yeah. Accountability. Maybe even to myself and to others. We have joined this little pack from the group, the tribe, the sisterhood.
The sisterhood,
And I really relied on a lot of people to validate my concerns, my fears, but yet a journey or an avenue that I'm laying out that I do feel safe. You know, you have to even trust your employer at the moment to that he's providing the best PPE and trust yourself that you know how to use it properly and all those things. But on the mental part of it, I had to just trust that this was my calling to stay in dentistry because some of my colleagues, you know, have chosen to either step back or wait even. But I was ready to get back and I just had to kind of, you know, trust the unknown.
I think that that's so important that sometimes, and of course, everybody has a different calling. Everybody has different choices that they have to make based on their comfort level. But I think that for you, knowing that you needed to put your trust in your employer. And also, I love that you're a people person. And I think that obviously from the other side of the coin, as a patient, I would want mm-hmm. someone like you that I am coming to, right? That it's going to be upbeat and make me comfortable. And I think that that's so important in everything that we do, right? We put in 110% in every interaction that I've had with you. I see that you're more than willing to smile, love, and everything else. So I think that that's so great that you were able to come back. Now, tell me a little bit of what are you experiencing as far as what you're doing with the reflexology. I think that's really fun. And I can't wait to hear how did this journey start? What is it like? And where are you going with that?
I love it. Okay. So reflexology was introduced to me through a massage therapist that I had seen probably once every 6 weeks, just for maintenance of life. I had noticed what's called a foot chart on her wall, and it just basically replicates like reflexes, points in the feet that correlate to all parts of the body, let's say that. And I shared with my massage therapist that I had started having plantar fasciitis symptoms, like tenderness walking, you know, other things I had tried. And she said, well, let's try some reflexology. Ooh. And I was totally open down to it, because I've always kind of like, what is this? How does it work? You know, I was just kind of at that moment. And I went to maybe three sessions and my symptoms were gone. And from there, I love it.
They were sold.
And so I was like, you know, yeah, I want to share that. Maybe even maybe not the same experience, but the possibility of even just relaxation to somebody in the busy, crazy world that we all live in.
It's, you know, I wish I knew that. I suffered from plantar fasciitis for the majority of my life. And about 2 years ago, it got really, really bad. So I remember, and this is how crazy that episode was. I started and it was really hurting me. And by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, now I work from home. Even when I was working in my company in New York City, I would go into the city maybe for the day or overnight. But when I was working from home, even it was so excruciating in the pain level that 4 o'clock, I couldn't sit. I couldn't, you know, I had to sit because I couldn't be on my feet anymore. And I couldn't walk even to the kitchen. And for many, many months, I just kept ignoring it. And I knew what it was. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to stretch. I'm going to roll my feet. Eventually, it wasn't until like January where my husband's like, dude, you need to go to the doctor. Now, because I've suffered from plantar fasciitis in the past, the only thing that I knew that my podiatrist in New York had done in the past when I lived there is he had given me an injection of cortisone. And not a pleasant experience. So I was not ready to have my feet injected because it wasn't only one foot. It was both of them. So I went back and I went to a new podiatrist here. And of course, that's what she did. But she's like, I'm gonna send you to physical therapy. And I went to physical therapy for 6 months and three times a week. And my doctor's like, you know, if you don't get better, even if you do, I would recommend that you do surgery. I was like, what? You got to be kidding me. Now, I love walking barefoot and I love flip-flops, but I do use, you know, the ones that have an arch now. So I have invested. I haven't had surgery, but I really invested in stretching and I had to wear a boot to bed. Oh, such a nightmare, honestly. Every time I think about it, but it's been an incentive because my feet – for me, I have walked the Camino de Santiago, which is a pilgrimage in Spain, a couple times, and I went right after my physical therapy ended, and that was the incentive for me to actually get better and do what I needed to. But had I known that I could have gone and gotten some work on reflexology, I would have much rather had some fun, relaxing time as opposed to working my little butt off.
Oh, man.
So, but now it's good to know because now I know where to go. So, now where do you look to go in the future with that? Are you going to practice that in addition to your regular job, or how are you going to manage all of that?
Yes, that is my hope. Right now, I'm currently down to 3 days a week for dental. So that opens the rest of the week up to possibilities. So I have just currently rented a room at a local, place. And right now I'm just seeing my mom, my dad, and my husband, as volunteers, okay, as in school. But my dream would be just to utilize this as a personal outlet to, you know, kind of grow. And I can't, I'm not seeing that it would be like maybe a full-time position, just more, you know, your own thing, you know?
Yeah. I love your spirit of entrepreneurship. I think you're a girl after my own heart. You have a couple different side hustles that I love. My favorite, by the way, and hold on, I didn't prep for this, but yep, here's my other one. This is where I keep. This is where I keep them. I keep my, and I'm always thinking listeners can see me. They can't. Okay, so Tracy Lewis is the creator of Levy Lou, which, am I saying it right?
Louie Lou.
Louie Lou. Okay. So I love, love, love her lip glosses. They're my favorite. Mm-hmm. And I am a big fan. So tell me, how did this come about? And what led you to create the lip glosses and the lip scrub, which I'm a big fan, by the way. So tell us a little bit about that.
So Louie Lou came to fruition probably about a year and a half ago. It was shortly after joining the tribe that I kind of was working through some of my things that were really just consuming my mind and my life. And once I kind of let go of some things, it allowed me to dream. And so I was like, okay, I want to do something for me, you know, that I am creating. And if it fails, because I think with success plans, not only do you pave a path, pave the road to success, but you also, you know, take in consideration that there's failures along the way. And how do you kind of plan those or, you know, acknowledge them? So I absolutely love lip gloss. And I thought, I'm going to start this. And if it fails, I'm going to have some awesome lip gloss for me. So it was kind of like, you know, there wasn't a huge pressure to push. It just was something that artistically I could kind of play around with colors and taste and packaging and all that stuff. And then if I threw it out there and nothing happened, and then my bathroom will be full of beautiful lip gloss.
So how did you, I mean, I love lip gloss, but I don't think I ever could have like said, oh, I'm just going to make my own. I find that so fascinating. Where did you go to find, I mean, I guess you went online to figure out like, okay, this is how you make lip gloss?
Yes, I actually did a lot of research on YouTube. There's a lot of respectable YouTubers out there that post safety and then how-tos. And then you actually get registered within your state to have these products. And there's a lot of, you know, that type of end of like your MSDS sheets and all that kind of stuff. And you have to have, you know, everything to par. But once you really educate yourself and there's trial and error, there was times that I made them and it was, I don't even know if I would fit in a lip gloss, you know, tube to like, this is runny, this is thick, this color looks horrible. Oh, these mica powders do not work together. So there was a huge like learning curve in the beginning until I felt like I had my craft mastered enough that I felt comfortable putting my name on it.
I love it.
So yeah, just a lot of research, a lot of this and that, taking parts of this and parts of that and making your own.
So now you are in, you sell them on Etsy.
Yes.
And do you plan to expand that? Is that something that you are looking to do? And how are you planning on doing it? And, or do you have a plan?
Yes. Well, 2020 was going to be a big growth. But that's
it is.
Okay.
In a different kind of growth, right? It's a different kind of growth for all of us.
So Louie Lou had actually grown to where I brought on a friend to help me. Her name's Autumn. She's wonderful. She was helping me make them, package them, all the fun stuff. And we were going to grow to try and do events. And we actually did one in early February, I believe, before everything had, you know, kind of come to a halt. So my goal for 2020 was to maybe get a few more events and have Autumn help me or, you know, master a few. But there's always 2021. You never know what the end of the year is going to look like. But I would love to grow to events to do some things like that and just keep selling on Etsy. So
I love the idea of doing the events because I think that as people see the luxury of the product, they can definitely fall in love with it as much as I did. And everybody was raving about the lip glosses on our community online. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I remember the first time I got one. I was sold. I'm like, oh my God, I love it so much. And yeah. I had to order the second one and so on. And the latest dread that you have, I know that you did that for Susie Garcia, but it's so beautiful. And it's my favorite because red is my favorite color. And my husband, you know, he makes fun of me because if you look in my makeup drawer of lipstick drawer, everything is a different color of red.
Red.
maybe a little bit of bronzes and one pink or two, but everything is really red. And he's like, they're all red. I'm like, no, they're different shades. Please. They all look different. So it's funny. I love that. How would you consider also expanding to very she little boutiques that wouldn't be interested in carrying your product? Is that something maybe you consider?
Yes, yeah. I really haven't put a lot of thought to that, but that would be something that I think would be fabulous.
Because when I look at your product and when I, you know, the packaging is so beautiful and then the texture, but I think that like I like shopping. Obviously, I haven't been doing much of that other than Amazon lately, but I love walking into these little chic luxury boutiques where they have everything just arranged and displayed so beautifully. And I could just see like this beautiful display of the different colors that you have. And like, that would really call my name. I'm like, oh, I need to try that. So I don't know. Maybe that's a direction. I always come up with these ideas for other people. It's funny. Yeah, like with Caitlin, who you and I both know, she is part of my accountability group and our No BS group. But she started her business with her macarons. And if nobody, if we have any good new listeners, check out her podcast episode, I guess, 10. But I'll put it in the show notes. And I'm always thinking like, oh, Caitlin, you should do this. You should do that. You should do this. She's like, oh my gosh, please. This is just a side hustle. It's not a full time. I'm like, okay, fine.
But yes, she's wonderful. I get inspiration off of her. I'm telling you, she's amazing.
I love that. I think that maybe at one point, Corinne is going to have to create like a group of entrepreneurs so that everybody can sort of come up with best practices and ideas and help each other out. Not that we don't already, but you know, I think that would be a good subgroup for somebody. I don't know. We'll see. So now when do you graduate from the reflexology?
I take my state test in September, so just a few months away from now.
Okay.
And then I'll sit for my nationals shortly after that. So only about 2 more months.
Okay. So now there is a state certification, and then you have to go for a national certification. And then what does that look like as far as your business? And, you know, will you be able to maybe travel and do reflexology as a travel person and be okay in other states?
Right. Well, the state that I'm in would require a state license. But for nationals, you know, it kind of gives you an open book to kind of travel. Mm-hmm. The only thing that you need to be aware is that whatever state you go into it, like as if you were going to live there permanently, you just have to check that state's, you know, requirements. But it kind of, you know, just the validation, the finished goal kind of thing for me to go ahead and just do it. I mean, when you're already in that school realm of thought, you might as well just do it, you know?
Might as well do it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now, I have a question because I think that this is something that, many women sort of, you know, will hear at the beginning of this interview, and you touched a little bit on your miscarriages, and obviously, and you're okay to say, no, I don't want to talk about this, but tell me a little bit about what is one thing that you have learned from going through that grief and pain that you would wish to share with other women?
One, you're not alone. That might sound cliche, but you truly are not. And I honestly did not know that from a woman's aspect until the tribe, because my husband tried his best. He was a huge support. My family is a huge support. All of them are. But I don't know, unless you've experienced it or know somebody very close to you, it was hard for me to allow that they understood my discomfort or pain. So, you know, the opening up in the tribe about something so sensitive, like this was probably at least maybe 16, 15 years ago that I went through this. So mm-hmm. it's been a long, quote, long time ago, but it was something I carried with me till just about a couple years ago. So just kind of opening up and allowing that vulnerability is was huge for me.
You know, I find that a lot of women in, I think things are changing, but I think that for the most part, we don't tend to open up about the shared experiences that are painful and that we carry a lot of, I've seen, and again, this is part of the experience that I've had, and we carry a lot of shame over mm-hmm. things like losing a child or, and we don't talk about it. And I find that there's so much healing when we actually embrace the experiences that we've been to and share with each other. I know, you know, for instance, the other thing, when I had a hysterectomy, December is going to be 2 years. And I know that, you know, once you find a community of people who can talk about that, it's healing, but at the same time, you don't necessarily hear people talking about it as often.
Yeah.
Sorry, hold on. There's like really weird noises going on outside the room. and I don't know. So this particular room, we block out and close the windows. So I don't know. Maybe my husband's trying to go out. Anyway, sorry. We'll have to edit all this out. It's just like weird. Oh, and yet, so yesterday I have to, this is a funny story. My husband golfs on Thursdays and I haven't been home. I've been traveling. This is my finally home. And yesterday I was just sort of taking it easy, easing into being home. And my husband, like, I didn't know what time he was coming home, and it was very late, and I haven't been alone for a long time, at least 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Then the next thing you know, the Siri, our Apple Pod, HomePod, started blaring music without me asking it to. And I was like, oh, what is going on? And it's like blasting all over the house. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what's happening? And anyway, my husband turned it on from outside and he was just so excited. He was trying to get me excited that he was home. And I'm like, that freaked me the heck out. Are you kidding me? What's wrong with you? Here I'm thinking I'm being invaded or haunted. Who knows?
But yes.
Anyhow, so let's get back to the conversation. I'm sorry. Okay. So as women, we find that when we share our experiences and some of the difficulties that we've encountered, we tend to become stronger. Do you find that opening up with some of the challenges that you've had in your life makes you stronger or is difficult for you? And how do you handle sort of overcoming some of the uncertainty of opening up?
Good question. At first, when I joined the group, I can't say that I was, quote, ready to even allow this part to be known because it was deep. You know, some of these mm-hmm. things, they go deeper than others. So you almost have to feel like you're in a trusted or safe environment mm-hmm. to allow some of the deep stuff out, you know, that wall, per se, that you have up. When I joined, mm-hmm. I had that. So I did feel major relief, and a lot of my relief came from an event that Corinne through NoBS held in 2018, fall of 2018. She was actually coaching, like a one-on-one coach with someone. I personally didn't get coached, but I received a lot of the message and internalized it. And a lot of release came from the word failure, feeling like a failure because of miscarriage, feeling failure because I didn't have the best way to cope with something so big. Mm-hmm. I, you know, did what was natural to me, which was eat, which to me did not serve my body. So I think allowing at first myself to realize that allowed me to open up to allow others to maybe allow conversation to happen. So then it kind of grew into more. It, you know, you kind of found people that, you know, say that happened to me, or that's happened, you know, to my sister, or somehow there's a similarity that you felt like, yeah, we should have connected. This was just the avenue for us to connect. So at first I was guarded until I felt safe. And then I, you know, it's, I don't go around telling every single person, because, you know, we don't do that with a lot of things in our life. But for the certain ones, I do feel comfortable, and I do feel relieved. And almost the shame, I think we talked about that a little bit in the beginning, that is released, or that's gone, because, you know, again, this happened so many years ago. It wasn't talked about. There wasn't a format of the internet, honestly, probably back then, let alone, you know, camaraderie between other women to be like, yeah, I have felt that. This is how, you know, that helped me, or maybe try this, it might help you. So I have felt major growth from letting go of a failure, and of what I thought was failure at the time. Now, you know, I definitely don't see it as that. I think that it's just what is meant to be will be. And our journeys are unknown. And so when we try to control our journeys, we question when we don't get some. So I think that was also what I was in. And I just now I'm just like, you know, this is me. This is my story. And we'll see what the future holds.
I am so honored that you're sharing this part of your story. I think that I identify, you know, for many years, I, well, growing up, I guess, I never pictured myself being a mom. I never pictured myself having children. I always was very career driven. And in my previous marriage, my practice marriage, I just knew that it wasn't the right thing to have children. And when I met, well, I knew my husband, and then when we started dating and married subsequently, we really came to a place where he didn't have children from his previous marriage either. And I evaluated, and I thought, you know what? I do want a child with this man. I do. And all of a sudden my thinking shifted, and I wanted that. I wanted to create a family with him, and we went through fertility treatments, and it didn't work out. And I carried a lot of the shame. One, because I felt that I had been selfish for many years for not wanting a child, and second, for not being able to have one when we tried. And it was really, I think, for the first 2 years of my marriage with Dan, I spent a lot of time grieving, and I spent a lot of time really just beating myself up and beating myself and hating the person that, when asked about children in a previous life, I'm like, oh God, no, I don't want kids. And I'm like, so stupid. I could have. And who knows, right? Maybe I couldn't have back then either. But I beat myself up for that. And it was really having to embrace the shame and embrace the feeling of failure, and knowing that, you know, there is a plan greater than we are. And really also knowing that I'm okay just being who I am, and I am perfectly fine being the best aunt ever. And that, you know, and this is something that I really work through in the tribe as well. And that, I remember thinking, I was actually traveling when I was going through the grief of the last treatment not working. And, I was at a school. And I remember seeing a young boy and his mom. She was dropping him off. And they sort of like looked at each other. And I thought, I am never going to have that with somebody. I'm not going to have a child look at me with that adoration, and vice versa. And I just remember thinking, like, I fell into this deep sorrow, pain, and then I, in getting coached with Corinne in the program, one of the things that she said, for as long as you look at the world with the eyes of I don't have, and this could have been, but it didn't happen, you will be miserable. Mm-hmm. And I knew immediately that I needed to start to shift my brain. And it took a while for me to get there. And I did, but certainly, you know, it was painful. And now I've learned that You know, there's so many other, I've talked about this in other episodes, right? How I am blessed to have these nieces and nephews that I just adore. And I am able to do things for them that sometimes their parents, may not be able to. And I'm in a place of being able to look at that and say, what a blessing I have. And, it took a long time, and I am not lacking as a person because I don't have children. I am immensely blessed because then I can share with others that not all of us have that path. In whatever path we are on, we can be as loved and fulfilled and as full as we need to. So, and I'm hoping that other people begin to see that, right?
Yes, I so agree. That was beautiful. Yeah.
Well, hi, everybody. You may ask yourself, why is Dan speaking in the middle of the podcast? Well, Julie lost connection with her guest today. So what's going to happen is you're going to travel ahead 4 days in time, and you're going to hear Julie rejoin her guest. But we're going to take this moment for a word from our sponsor.
Hi, everybody. You know the holidays are coming. We are counting down. I am excited to share that I am a member of the Coach's Corner for Wellness Break 360, and we are going to be doing several different workshops throughout the holiday season to make sure that we are connected and doing well. So join us for the next Wellness Break. It is November 7th, and it's going to be at 12:15 Pacific time or 3:15 Eastern time. Some of the topics include strengthening your body to function better, social media anxiety and how to take control, keeping your purpose and passion alive in busy time, and emotional release. I will be speaking about keeping your purpose and passion alive. So as you know, join me because we can't go confidently if we don't know what our purpose is, and how to fuel our passions to get there.
Well, how do people sign up?
Very easily. You go to Wellness Break 360 on Facebook or go to the App Store and download the app Wellness Break 360.
If you're not in your car, pause, take a look at it. And now back to our show with Julie and her guests, Tracy Lewis.
Tell me a little bit about what are some of the thoughts maybe you had about our initial conversation, and what does it bring up in you when we're talking about confidence and where you are in your own journey to feeling confident in everything that you're doing, or maybe working toward feeling that confidence?
Yeah, I think it's that latter part, working on that. I feel when I do take a leap, even coming on this podcast had me questioning, like I say, are we on camera? Like, what do I wear? Like all these thoughts were going through my head. But I showed up, you know, I came with an open mind to be asked, you know, honestly, anything. And then just took one question at a time and just truly just went with it authentically, just let, I guess, what words came out. but it really does kind of like, because it's an unknown, I think is where sometimes personally I grow confidence off of proving to myself I can do something. Yep. So when it is something new, it's kind of like, can I, should I, what is it? Like all the questions begin.
Absolutely. And I think that that happens for so many of us as women, that we believe that we should already know it. We should already be, you know, okay, competent and move forward to being an expert at things. And we forget that everyone has to be a beginner from time to time. And I find that a lot of women who are afraid to take a leap is because even though they may be in pain or they may be struggling with something, they would rather be in that comfort zone of the pain than jumping into the unknown. and jumping mm-hmm. into something that is new and unfamiliar to them. Do you feel that there were times maybe in your life in which you stayed a little bit too long in your comfort zone before moving forward?
Oh, most definitely. Whether that would be a position like a job that I totally, honestly, just it irritated the soul. You knew you didn't belong there, but either fear paralyzed you or your thoughts of change paralyzed you in regards to not making that change. And then there really is just a light bulb moment, whether that's just support from a spouse or support from being done and knowing self-worth to just make that change. And it is what it is sometimes, you know?
Do you think that there's a correlation in confidence and self-worth?
That's a good question. I work on both. So maybe they truly do go hand in hand. There are times that I question if I'm going to be confident in a, an action, or even self-image or self-doubt can play into a lot of actions that I'm already quote-unquote confident in. So they probably, I think for me, I have to work on both. And by working on both, to me, is acknowledging it, talking about it in a safe space, and journaling.
Yeah. Are you, have you journaled for a long time, or is that something that you've adopted lately or in the last few years?
Definitely adopted in the last few years. Learned from the No BS program on how to journal, even if it's, you know, when I would journal in the past, I'd be like, is that spelled correctly? Is this the right comma? Like, there was so much perfectionism around, and now I just journal, get the thoughts out. They truly might be fragment sentences, but it does not matter. It's just, for me, it's that mind dump. Whether I take action on anything that I've written is something totally different. It's just, to me, a cleansing.
Yeah, I think that that's such a good point. I think that for so long, and there's so many schools of thoughts on what is journaling and how should it work. But ultimately, it really is a mind dump, and it really is an opportunity to be able to just bring into the forefront some of the stuff that is internal. And there's so many different thoughts that we're having that maybe we're not aware of, that I know for myself. And again, I've journaled my whole life. I started at 13, but I know that I, many times, right, I would just, you know, oh, today, dear diary, right? But I wasn't necessarily exploring. And so as I dug deeper into the journaling process, it really came to a point where I realized that I needed to just say whatever was coming up and write and not care and just put it out there. And eventually there are times in which I'm like, oh my God, look at what I was thinking. Like, that was in my brain. No wonder I feel shit, right? And I think that that's one of the things that many women tend to be hard on themselves because they are afraid of seeing their thoughts. Now, you and I both know that, you know, thoughts really can hurt us. But what would be an advice for a woman who maybe is thinking to themselves, you know, I'm afraid of journaling because I don't know what I'm going to see, or I'm going to write a whole traumatic story and maybe this is not something that I want to connect with. What would your advice be to them?
I would say start small. Expectations low, maybe set a timer for 3-5 minutes and just write. Allow, even I know Corinne sometimes says in our group, if all you can do is write blah, 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 then that is a specific time that you've etched out for journaling. Now, this is, could be an exercise that you work just like a muscle, just a little bit more intent. Sometimes I even set the mood. I mean, there's journaling music that I enjoy, setting a candle, making sure it's quiet. You know, I think everyone will find their niche, but I feel like setting expectations lower so you're not thinking you're going to go in and write this epic novel thing. You know, it's just not how, I mean, sometimes journaling is 5 minutes. Sometimes it's 20. Sometimes, you know, it's different on days or maybe even what you're feeling that day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, one of the concepts that Corinne talked a little bit about in our virtual retreat in a couple weeks ago, I was so delighted because this is something that I've always said for myself. And I thought, you know, I know other women can benefit from doing this. I have a special space. I have a rocking chair in my bedroom, and that's my journaling and my prayer chair, and that place where I sit down and find comfort and write. I'm in the process of actually renovating or remodeling would be the right word, but we have this three-season porch we've never really used while we've been married. It's been sort of like the catch-all room and never had anything, but we're in the process of repairing some of the thoughts, things that needed to be repaired in there, and I'm making it into a mindfulness meditation yoga room, and I plan to do my morning coffee and journaling in there, so super excited. I can't wait. And I hope that other women, you know, and even if you don't have that spot, which I would recommend because it creates continuity and habit, but take 2 minutes. And it doesn't, even if you're starting your day, you're sitting at your desk and maybe you want to go ahead and just put out some of the thoughts that maybe, how are you feeling? Set an intention. And it's a great practice to adhere to and to build. So absolutely.
Yes.
Now, you talked a little bit about building a muscle. Do you work out?
No. Okay. Well, I guess that was a very quick answer. I enjoy working out, and it goes in spurts. Sometimes it's walking, sometimes it's a stationary bike, but I would not call myself at all a regular exerciser or a diehard exerciser. It comes in waves. It's, you know, is it too cold? Is it too high? You know, there's all justifications, but right. I do it honestly for pure pleasure.
What do you think would be your ideal self doing as an exerciser? Do you envision yourself becoming more of an exerciser? And what would be your ideal exerciser? Or is that something that you want to continue to do right now just in the same way? And is that something that you're content with?
That's a good question. I really haven't placed a lot of emphasis on working out. But ideally, I mean, I know the health benefits of working out, not only for a physical look, but for a mental release. So I can see the true benefits behind it. Right now, I have not put any label on it. So
that's good.
If it flourishes into something, then I welcome it. If it does not, and it's just sporadic, then that's awesome.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that I tell people. You know, like I have had this love and hate relationship with the exercise because I can get to the gym and I love it. Like once I'm at the gym, I love it. But for many years, I didn't have the habit of going because it wasn't a habit. If I didn't feel motivated, I wouldn't go. And I expected motivation to just kind of show up. Whereas the habitual habit of getting up or doing the thing, it has to be something that you build into. But I really suggest, and again, I think that, you know, many women listen to this and think, oh, you know, I need to exercise so I can lose weight. One, you know, 90% of your weight loss is going to come from you eating and what you eat or don't eat, number one. Number two, exercise should be really just to move your body, but also to give yourself some endorphins and find something that you really enjoy, like walking, or it might be that you are just, you know, maybe stretching or doing something simple and basic to really honor and honor yourself and honor your body. And everybody has a different journey. So find something that fits with you and that can make it into something that you enjoy and do. Did you play sports growing up?
I did not during like grade school. When I was in high school, I did cheer. Actually, it started in eighth grade. It was the first year that we were in public school. It allowed or not allowed or had available like cheering. So I did cheering in eighth grade and then all of high school.
Okay.
So yeah.
I did cheerleading in ninth grade and then in 10th I didn't do anything because I moved high schools, and then I did the dance team, and then the flag lady in my senior year, which was really fun. Yes. I enjoyed that. But cheerleading was super fun. I really enjoyed it. But I had been so out of it, and I was really involved with my youth group. And that took a lot of priority for me in high school. I did a lot of travel and trips and doing peer leading and stuff. So that the commitment for the cheerleading was so much that I didn't think I could do it. So
yeah,
that's awesome. If you could give yourself some advice, like if you go back to that high school cheerleader and give yourself some advice, and looking back at everything that she was going to go through in her life and the things that she was going to encounter, good, bad, otherwise just neutral, what would be one piece of advice that you would give that girl in what is one thing that you would want her to be armed with in order to navigate her journey?
Okay. I probably would say don't be in a hurry. Don't try to do everything so quickly. Mm. Really enjoy life. It doesn't matter what you drive, how much you make, what career path, as long as you're happy. And not that I have chosen a career path that didn't. I just had a lot of, questions. Should I go to this way? Yeah. I feel just trust yourself into making decisions. And also don't put so much emphasis on body image. Yeah. I feel like I really, from high school cheerleading to life's ups and downs, I feel like I judged my body even when I was on a BMI chart, skinny, small, to a BMI chart to obese. I feel like judgment has been present. So I feel like I would try to somehow give a resource to allow self-confidence. That's the difference between confidence and self-confidence, because I feel like I'm a very confident person with taking actions or following dreams. But when it comes to self-confidence, I have questions. I have to journal about this. I have to remind myself, you can do X, Y, Z and then have this outcome and you're okay. If you fail, you're okay. So it's, I think, more stuff like that.
I think that that's so important. I don't think I've ever met a woman that doesn't look back and think, oh, if my younger self only knew how great we had it. Like, look how great and awesome and skinny we were, right? Well, I think for the most part, most women have that. I remember I have a picture of my senior year. It was for the yearbook, and we were coming from a pep rally. I was in uniform, and I remember just being so deprecating toward my thighs and thinking like, oh, so terrible. Like, just thinking like how awful. And I look back at that girl and I think, I'm like, look how cute she is. Like, she's got this little, Marilyn Monroe shapely thing, hourglass, but really cute. And I think of all the time wasted, right? Not loving myself and not loving the different parts of who I am. And I truly believe that if we can teach our girls to see ourselves with such love, we would save them so much. I look at my niece, for instance, and having spent time with her, I can't put the coach in me away when I'm with her. She, every time I say everything is figure outable. Today is Monday. Yay.
Yes.
So I'm trying to train her in building these habits of managing her mind. And it's funny because she sees herself and she loves what she sees in the mirror and she is so content. And I want to just keep that alive in her, because that, yes, it's self-confidence, but it also, the better we feel about ourselves, the better we show up for others. And I think that that's so important. So tell me, what exciting things are you planning for the fall? Anything fun? I know that we talked a little bit about where you're going with your career and what you're launching. And first of all, I need to get me one of those swag new mugs. And how does that go? Because I actually, I had my bottle, the old one, And I left it in Florida, which I'm kind of annoyed over. But I don't know what happened. It was at my sister's, and the next day I was leaving, it was gone. I'm like, did she hide it because she didn't want me to take it? So I need to get me a new bottle. But what else is coming down the pipe for you?
That's a lot in regards to finally graduating school that has been delayed for a few months. I'm not putting a lot of pressure on the lip gloss Louie Lou, just because I really wanted to grow events. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's kind of going to come to fruition more later. I'm hoping to attend a virtual retreat camp through the NOBS.
I'll be there.
So that'll be, I'm looking forward to. I'm deciding to know, do I kind of rent a little, place and kind of do the away from home or just do it in my home? So lots of things like that. And then, everyday happiness of life.
Everyday happiness of life. I think that that's a wonderful, wonderful way of looking at the everyday. I think that we expect the big events and the life marking, life changing things like graduation, attending a retreat or traveling somewhere to really mark life. But every day is happiness if we choose to look at it that way. And I think it's so important to keep that in mind. That's so wonderful. Yeah. I love it. I love it. Well, are you creating any new lip colors, by the way?
Oh, not currently. I did just release one a couple of weeks ago called Malibu, and it's a fabulous little coral, like summery color.
Okay.
So I had someone ask for a wine color, so that might be a fall.
I am in for the wine. It's funny. I just spoke to, and I'm not sure if I'll release yours first or her podcast, but my friend Jessica, she is a licensed esthetician, but she actually she's done a lot of research into makeup, and she is educating women on, the difference, right, with a pharmaceutical grade or just a different, and I'm saying it very wrong. So, but she inspired me because I had done a big cleanup of my makeup product drawers because it's not just one. And I am very conscientious, right? Like a mascara, I'm not going to keep longer than 3 months and like certain things, because I do know they expired. And, but she really inspired me to go back and really look at it more closely. And I didn't do that yet, but it's, I think women, if you're spending the money on products, make sure that you are supporting small women who are really creating lovely things like you are with, oh my God, such an amazing lip gloss. Wait, I showed you. Right, I have two. I have this one, and I have the bronzy one.
Oh, I love it! Yeah,
they're both here, but the this one's my favorite so far. The Boss Babe.
Yes, so I had that on this morning.
It's so good. So I love it. I am just in awe of you. I am so proud of your journey and the fact that you sort of have stepped up in the last few weeks and said, hey, I need to up my game in where it comes to really buckling down with my weight loss. I really love the fact that you are an entrepreneur. You show up for your friends. You show up for the No BS group ladies. You are one of the mentors, as I am, but you're working in with the ladies that are going to have more than 100 pounds to lose, and you're mentoring them. And I think that you're leading by example, and I love that about you.
So thank you so much.
It's such a pleasure to talk to you and talk to you more and get to know you more in depth. And I appreciate you coming to the Casa de Confidence. It's always fun to have the No BS ladies come and visit and talk about their journeys, because the more that we know each other overall, the more that we can grow and learn. So I appreciate that.
No, I agree. Totally agree.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much again, Tracy. You're an amazing woman, and you're doing wonderful things, and keep shining, okay?
Oh, thank you.
Just doing a scientific experiment.
What was your scientific experiment?
I made a yawn to see if you would yawn.
Yes, and you
did.
And you didn't say, that was a great interview, Julie.
Because I wanted to do an experiment first. There, I made you yawn again. I got a twofer. Two yawns for one.
Wow.
Oh, geez. Well, you know what, Julie? That interview is nothing to yawn about. Actually, though, it was very, very tiring, though. You know,
it was tiring.
It was 5 days long. By the time you started recording, by the time you were done recording.
You know, one of the things that I really love about Tracy is that I know you're a comedian. Okay. Hmm. Is her current mantra is never lose focus, never lose doubt. It's okay to question the journey, just never step out. And I think that this resonates so much with me because even today I spoke at the Wellness 360 October conference on finding your purpose. And I think that this totally resonates with me because in going after your purpose and in being confident, it really means that you shouldn't forget that it's a journey and that anytime that you give up on staying on your road and staying focus on what you're going after, you're losing time and you're also losing your purpose. So I love seeing how she continues to just plug along and you know, even if she stumbles, she keeps going. And that's something that we should all really go after and embrace in our lives.
Yeah. You guys would have seen each other last month, right?
Yeah.
So.
I need more lip gloss, though.
Alas.
So,
when is the next get-together scheduled for? The spring?
There is no official get-together scheduled for right now.
I thought they might be scheduling them just in case.
Corinne announced that she's doing virtual camp in January and most likely in spring because she has to make a commitment with the hotels.
That's right. That's a lot of expense.
And the hotels are not being as forgiving as they need to be. If people cancel. So that's what's happening. Hey, listen, you got a very nice birthday gift.
I did.
And it's not from me.
So last week, I had a great cake. And we talked about that, my Sasquatch cake, that my friend Mike and Arlene, they got
the for Rouses.
Me. The Rouses. So, of course, you've heard them before. Well, That cake was supposed to be part of the end of the year golf league tournament. It was supposed to happen last Friday, but it rained and rained and rained. But cake still existed, so we ate cake.
The Rouses and I and Dan. 4 days. Well, I don't like cake, so I had a slice and maybe I had a little bit more, but it wasn't really for me. But Dan, on the other hand, along with Mike Rouse, had a lot of.
Did Mike have a lot? I don't know.
He had the same issue you were having.
Well, I think I ate more. Yeah, the cake had green food dye in it. It was super awesome.
He was pooping green. He was pooping green for days.
For days.
I know this is not that kind of show, but
last night we ended up having our year-end tournament. It was a week later. And at the end of the night, I was so... I've been helping... Me and Mike have been... Mike's been running the league. I've been doing little newscasts at the end of the week, wrap-ups. Started out as write-up. Now I'm doing videos, and I put it on... I made a website for the golf site. So, Mike always bust me because, and he's tried me to get to wear flip flops for 10 years, and actually, about 8 years ago, it was like 5 years that I knew him trying to get me to do flip flops. I don't do flip flops; they hurt my feet. And finally, we're in Dover, Delaware. We're down at Dewey Beach, and there's a Reef brand. Store, and they even got a little bottle opener in the sole. This kind he always buys, and they have my size. I got a size 15 in there, so I bought a pair. Now, Reese, they're not cheap. They're like $60, something like that.
For flip-flops?
Yeah. I don't remember what they are. They're not inexpensive. And I was 30 minutes in and my toes are starting to chafe. 35 minutes in, I'm bleeding. I'm bleeding. I can't do this. My feet.
His gentle toes.
Mike is like, I'll take them. I'll take them and pay you for them. And they're too big for me, but they're kind
but he wears them.
Not anymore. I think they're done. So anyway, and I always wear sandals, and I have these.
He wears Tevas.
I had Tevas. I no longer have Tevas.
He has Merrells.
But I have a pair of Merrell. They're called Merrell Water. They don't look like water shoes, but they're a waterproof sandal, right? Mm-hmm. They look like Merrells. They're the most comfortable things I've ever had on my feet that is not like...
Yeah, something. And Mike, in good fashion, always makes fun of him for his Jesus shoes.
He makes fun of me for my sandals. He's wearing flip-flops like a seven-year-old. But, I mean, come on. I kid, Mike. It's not like you're listening anyway, right?
Don't worry, Mike. I'll send you the clip.
Arlene might hear it. So, he wears flip-flops to everything. More power to him. That's awesome. I wish I could wear flip-flops. I wish I could feel that free. But my feet bleed between the toes when that happens. Yes. So I need the sandals.
Okay.
So I wear the sandals. So Mike busts my balls all the...
Go ahead.
This is a lady show. Sorry. He busts me all the time.
Bust his balls.
Yeah, whatever. Busts me all the time on these, on my...
Sandals.
Jesus shoes. He bought me a pair of golf shoes, sandals, that are size 14 that he had heard about because he's in this group of avid golf collectors, and he found these, and they are saying how comfortable they are and how awesome they are, and they're sandals with soft spikes on the bottom so you can golf with them. Mm-hmm. So he bought me a pair of those, and... I'm like, uh-oh. See, I wear a size 15 shoe.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really a 14 and a half. So a 14 is kind of like...
But they fit you.
Maybe, maybe not. I got home, put those on, and they're the most comfortable sandals. More comfortable than my Merrells.
Oh, good for you.
But they're only for golfing, so...
Yeah, don't wear those in the house. They have little spikes.
Of course.
And I would say, I think they're my dad spikes. Would be sort of like...
Jealous?
Not jealous, because he didn't wear sandals.
No, well, your dad also flew in a three-piece suit.
Yeah, that's true. My dad was...
So, playing. I'm sure when he golfed, he was decked to the nines.
Yeah, he wore his golfing ensemble.
Because he was a proper.
I am thinking that maybe I will, after all, take up golf. So that I can go out.
All right. There's a league on Wednesday nights.
No, don't be crazy. I'm not joining a league.
You can golf with Linda.
Oh, Maloney? Well, if Arlene joins, maybe. Ladies, how many of you golf? Let me know. I just have a problem because my boobs get in the way. And they do. I'm speaking truth.
I have that same issue.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, O Lord.
Anyway, well, thank you for joining again, everybody.
Thank you for joining us at the Cosmic Confidence Podcast. We are so grateful for you. And here's the thing. If you've enjoyed the podcast, if you like us, if you love this banter, please give us a review. Please. It would mean so much to us if you did. Share it with your friends. We want to make sure that we bring these stories of amazing women who are our friends, our mothers, our sisters, our girlfriends. I want us all to be able to just get to know each other and build each other up through these stories. We're putting together some amazing guests. I am super excited, but please, I would love to hear what you think. And your review and your sharing and your rating will mean the world to me. And subscribe. Don't forget to subscribe.
All right. And also in this time, I mean, we're into October now, almost into Thanksgiving. Do not forget to support your local businesses.
Abso-frickin-lutely.
I just wanted to mention that because I looked at our Amazon, the mm-hmm. number of Amazon purchases we've had in 2020. And I feel a little guilty. Amazon's great. Nothing against it. I mean, Jeff Bezos went to the same high school as you.
Because brilliant people went to high school there.
But it's important now to support those businesses that are local. If you say, hey, that place was great the time I went there, but you never went back since then, it'll be gone if you don't go visit them again.
I am making it a point to visit local businesses.
So,
Modern Milkman, Luann's.
We met two brown butter.
Brown butter I've known.
Brown butter I know you've known. And there was another new business. You're going to talk to them. Actually, you're going to make some posts this morning.
I did make some posts about them. They're fantastic.
Very good. Well, check out Julie's socials.
That's right. Julie DeLuca Collins on the Instagram place.
The what? The
Instagram place. What am I, 100?
The Instagram. You know, all the people our age are going to be like, what's this Instagram place? Is that a new application?
No, it's Instagram. And by the way, don't forget to follow Handsome Hot Husband and Dan Collins on Instagram. That's and you never know. Right. Here's the call to action to everybody.
Do you know this is well over an hour and
I'm just going to say.
No one's listening right now.
We've
exceeded the time limit.
Okay, but listen. Dan is at 135 followers. On Instagram. If we can get him to 200, he will sing with his shirt off.
No, I won't.
You're going to do something.
It sounds like you're trying to get me in a date with somebody.
No, those days are over. Yeah. Don't forget to go confidently in the direction of your dreams.
Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for visiting.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Casa de Confidence podcast with Julie DeLuca Collins. Remember to check her out on Instagram and Facebook, and always click subscribe to catch every new episode. Remember, leave a review so we can continue to bring you fresh content. And as always, go confidently in the direction of your dreams.
Hi, everybody. I know that sometimes we get very lonely in this entrepreneur journey, and I want to invite you to join us into our limited time only Purposeful You Mastermind. For many of us entrepreneurs, we believe that we can do it all, but the reality is that doing it alone only creates a lot of overwhelm. So join us at the Purposeful You Mastermind. You can find out more information by going to bit.ly/Julie's Mastermind. This is going to be the place where you are able to then unlock your full potential and achieve long-term success for your business, push you behind your current limits, expand your connections, discover new ideas, and implement them with confidence. You're going to get the support in all aspects and transforming you to the six-figure business you've been looking for. Pause and get off the hamster wheel if you've been spinning around. This is a time where you can get that support from like-minded entrepreneurs that are here to join you in your journey. Together, we can challenge the assumptions and land the speaking engagements and opportunities we want to grow our business and make an impact in the lives of people. See you then. Remember, you can find the mastermind at bit.ly, Julie's Mastermind.